Welcome to the Art of Intentional Creation.
Hello. Today, our hearts wanted to talk about creating a thriving life by choice and design. So we listened.
You know, I think we say this every time, but this is such an important topic. and it's... You know, and I feel like in a lot of ways, this topic kind of culminates on a lot of the pieces and parts that we've discussed so far through the various episodes of this podcast to date. We've talked about a lot of the supporting pieces of this puzzle. And the big question is, how do we thrive?
And, you know, to your point, it is okay to say that, because we are all about meaningful conversations that matter. So of course, every topic we talk about, it's such an important thing to talk about.
Or we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's get to it then.
Yeah.
We're talking about thriving today.
Yeah.
But creating a thriving life and doing it by choice and design consciously. So let's start with a definition of thriving. What does it really mean to thrive?
Yeah, so I Googled the word thrive just to really get kind of a third party. And anytime we have these words that we kind of throw at something, it's like, okay, there's kind of a context, kind of a connotation that we can assign to it. But sometimes it helps to get an idea of what everybody else thinks the word means too. Mm-hmm. And for this one in particular, I really liked the definition. So I'm just going to read it. It says, thrive, to prosper, to flourish, to grow vigorously.
Oh, I love that one.
Yes, it's probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing, to develop well, to bloom, to blossom, to advance, and to succeed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, feels so good.
Yes. Yeah. Particularly this idea of growing vigorously or flourishing.
Yeah. When I hear growing vigorously, I imagine burst of expansion, shift shaping. Getting out of like one form and morphing into another. It feels really good.
Yeah.
Transitioning. Yeah.
Transitioning, transforming. Yes.
Up and forward.
Up and forward. With with a quickness. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like energy behind it, you know, flourishing. There's an energy behind that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So thriving. What is it? What does it mean to thrive? Let's describe it a little, the concept of it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times, you know, when we think of the word thrive, one way to kind of frame it is to kind of look at what the opposite of thriving would be. And I think for our purposes of our discussion, it would be survive. You know, and when I think survive,
so contrasting it with a duality, right?
Yes.
So thriving versus surviving.
Thriving versus surviving. So if surviving is, you know, kind of just getting by or just doing enough or just doing the bare minimum, you know, thriving is taking it a step further. It's doing all, you know, not just the bare minimum. It's doing the maximum. It's expansive. It's kind of a level beyond, not even above, but beyond mere survival.
Mm-hmm. An extra mile. Huh?
An extra mile is a great way to say that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we like using analogies, and I think they help our listeners imagining concept. A lot of people are visual. So we thought of an analogy as if life was the ocean. And you were the swimmer in this ocean. And that's how we're going to describe those concepts of surviving and thriving. So surviving would be, imagine you're in the ocean and you're kicking your legs and your hands and you're barely keeping your head above water.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how surviving feels, right?
Yeah.
In life, maybe daily life. And thriving would be more of floating, going with the flow, making those long, relaxed strokes with calm breath, maybe flipping over to your back and floating and letting the wave carry you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the feels good, right?
It does, yes. Yeah, and the contrast too between those two experiences.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can break down this experience to better describe it into three markers. One would be how it feels to be in each of those states, how it looks on the outside, and also point out the language we may trace it by.
Ooh, and so, yes.
Sounds good?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so surviving, the kicking your feet and hands and grasping for air with your head barely above water, how it feels. It feels draining, depleting, deflating, exhausting, right? It's like this constant fight. How it looks on the outside, it's stressful. It may manifest in conflict, in being physically drained, tired, not motivated, right?
Yes.
It's a feeling of lack of something we would have and abundance of something what we don't want to have.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
And,
have you heard of the, it's just like a pop culture term, they call it the struggle bus.
Mm-hmm.
when you're fighting and you're kicking and scratching and trying to keep your head above water and all of those things are happening, you are definitely have a seat on the struggle bus.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Get off that bus.
Yeah, get off the bus. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Mm-hmm. So some language we may use, we may say, oh, this is good enough, or this will do, or I'm just getting by, right? And again, how it looks on the outside and how it feels. Virtually where it plays us is in a victim mode.
Yes.
Right? Something is happening to us. We may be overwhelmed, stressed out, drained.
Yes.
The other state, the opposite of it, the contrasting duality would be thriving.
Yes.
And when we're in a place of thriving, we feel charged and energized and inspired and full of energy and motivated. We, on the outside, it will manifest in things flowing easily. Therefore, we feel ease and peace and fulfillment.
Yes.
And like this experience of the universe being abundant, delivering, providing for us being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And
yeah, and another thing that comes to mind just in kind of playing out the contrast here, I think that when you're kicking and you're struggling and you're fighting and, you know, you feel the conflict, you feel the depletion, you don't want to be there. You're not enjoying yourself when you're on the struggle bus. You're fighting against your circumstances. You're like, I don't want to be in this ocean right now. I don't know why I'm here. I'm just fighting to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the contrast, though, this idea of, you know, the thriving, it feels more like I'm embracing my circumstances. Oh, I'm in the ocean. Cool. I'm going to float. I'm going to swim. I'm going to go with the flow. I'm ease and grace. And it's more gentle. And it's more like you're embracing the experience of whatever the experience
accepting.
Is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Accepting instead of denying what's happening and trying to fight it or fight it off. Even though maybe it's not the ideal, quote unquote, preference at that point.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So when we are in this place of flow, it feels empowering, right? And how it may come out in our language, it we may say, exactly like you said, wow, this is happening. How interesting. I would be curious about it rather than judging it, right? Mm. Or I will trust that I may not see why or what for what reason it's happening, but I will trust that something will unfold out of it, that it is getting me closer to where I would prefer to be.
Yes.
Right? Which that places this attitude, this frame, places us in the same circumstances, being in the ocean, in more of a victor or victoria mode rather than a victim mode. So we get our power back.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We get that being probably one of the key points. We have the power back. Yes, we're not giving it away to our circumstances. Rather, mm-hmm. we're embracing the circumstances. And I love that, the contrast between being in victim mode, this is happening to me, and victor mode, this is happening for me.
Mm-hmm. Or victoria for all our ladies out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
In a victory mode.
Victory,
it's
yes.
It's called victory, equal opportunity, victory mode.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, that does feel good. Okay. So now that we know the definition of thriving and we get, I think, a pretty good idea of how it looks like to be in a thriving mode. So let's talk about how does it happen?
Yeah, it, you know, it, when I was really thinking into this topic, you know, how do we thrive? And really what it became present to is that when we thrive, it's not by accident. It's not by circumstance. It's not random. When we truly thrive, it's by choice. It's a choice that we make on some level. Now, our consciousness of that choice may vary based on where we are in our path, but it is a choice. And I also feel that it's not a choice we make once. Oh, I'm here on earth. I'm in this body. I'm going to have an experience. All right, I'm going to thrive. It really is a day by day, if not moment by moment, choice that we make. I'm choosing to thrive every single. Mm-hmm.
Every single moment we make a decision, we choose something, right? When we have to decide.
Yes.
And it goes for our mindset as well.
Yes.
I like that. Wow, that's very profound. Yeah, so how does it happen that we thrive? It definitely happens by choice and by design. It's not a fluke of chance. And it's not one-time choice or one-time decision. It's a continuous process of committing to the choice we make. You know, I think it's kind of like in a relationship. I think there is maybe derives from Disney, this idea of, oh, we can have this perfect relationship. And it often looks like that at first when we're in a honeymoon stage. But then there is this disappointment of, oh, it doesn't look like it was in the honeymoon anyway anymore, right? And why is that? For that to happen, you have to choose this person every day, right? You have to choose them to be your beloved. Wow. And you every day renew the commitment to them and to that relationship.
Wow. Yes.
And then you show up differently. You make different choices, right? When the temptations come, or whatever the temptation may be, of being lazy and not doing something you know would make this person happy, or maybe temptation of, oh, there's somebody else, new shiny object, right? Mm-hmm. When you keep making consciously daily this commitment, you don't get distracted. You stay on course, right? Yeah, there's this new shiny thing. Oh, that's tempting. I'm acknowledging an assistant and I am committed to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the word commitment. In this conversation, a commitment to thriving, particularly, you know, it's like, okay, so it's a choice that I'm making, not just once, but daily. Mm-hmm. And I'm making this choice because I've made a commitment to myself, you know, to consciously choose to thrive. And you know, when you talk about, yeah, like in partnerships, it's yeah, you have to make that same choice every single day in a partnership to really, for the partnership, again, dropping the words here, to prosper and to flourish. Mm-hmm. You have to consciously choose that partnership every single day, every moment of every single day, really. And when you were saying that, I also became profoundly aware. It really, this can apply to so many different areas of life. You know, even to the point where you can say, I'm consciously choosing my life. I'm consciously choosing to live my life. Mm-hmm. And it's a choice that I'm making, a commitment that I'm making to live my life to its fullest, to my fullest expression every single day. It's just this huge, huge concept, but so powerful to consciously commit your power in such a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to consciously allocate your energy into something that you really do want to create, rather than let it kind of slip through your fingers, as it's quite easy to do in our everyday life, right? Mm-hmm. With having all the demands and having to respond to them. Mm-hmm. Right. So back on the horse, how does it happen? How is it possible to create a thriving life? We were talking about choice, right? We have to make this choice and be aware of it and consciously choose that to be our priority. And that, to me, connects with a mindset. This choice requires a certain mindset to be animated, right?
The choice requires the mindset, and the choices of a mindset. Mm-hmm. In many ways, when you wake up in the morning and you're committing, you're saying, I am choosing to thrive. You're choosing the mindset associated with the state of vigorous growth, with the state of flourishing, mm-hmm. of prospering.
So it is a loop, like a reinforcement. One reinforces the other. Feedback loop.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Feedback loop. Yes.
I love that. Yes. Okay. So what may stand in the way of that choice or that mindset? Let's talk about some blocking factors that we need to be aware of and look out for, and therefore be able to identify them.
You know, there's a lot that goes into this. Like, okay, so why, it's another way of saying the question is, okay, so why don't we thrive? Mm-hmm. What are the circumstances? What gets in the way? Mm-hmm. What blocks us from thriving? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's probably a couple different ways to look at this or to kind of address this. But I think that just generically, kind of speaking in general, one of the things is fear. I feel like sometimes we have this fear of moving beyond survival, you know, which if you're surviving, sometimes if you get in the habit of just surviving, you can start to build some comfort in this idea of, well, I'm surviving. I'm standing on my own 2 feet. I feel like I have some level of security, right? And I feel some comfort in this security. But if I take it a step further, take it a step beyond and step into the state of thriving, then it's almost like on some level, I have some fear around that. Like I'm putting myself at risk in some way, or maybe even my survival or my safety or my security is at risk in some way.
Right. Because that means any kind of shape shifting and stretching means we have to give something up. We have to leave something behind. And often that means something that's known, familiar, then therefore comfortable. So our comfort zone, right? Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm sure we all experience that at some point or the other in life. Mm-hmm. And I feel also that fear, being a very important factor that it often is really induced by a mental construct. Rarely is it biological. You know, most of us are privileged to live in a safe place, right? Without wars and major factors that are threatening our life. Mm-hmm. So it's not the, you know, the cliche example of a tiger wanting to hunt us. It's more right. The fear comes from our mental construct.
Yeah, it's not that your physical safety is threatened, mm-hmm. but quite literally, it's all in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's all self-induced by mental constructs. So let's talk about those constructs.
Yeah. So So for one, understand that even though it is all in your head and it is all a mental construct, that doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't feel very real.
I don't
want to minimize that. Oh man, it certainly can feel like mm-hmm. your physical safety is threatened, and sometimes it takes that stepping outside of the situation, looking at it objectively to say, no, I actually am safe. Right. So again, I just don't want to minimize
experience for sure. It feels of it. Yeah. So real. Our body experiences is as real. We feel mm-hmm. depressed or we feel anxious, right? Our mm-hmm. heartbeat changes, our breathing pattern change.
Yes.
It feels very, very real.
Yes.
On a physiological level, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the roots of some of those feelings, well, so one that comes to mind is this concept of limiting beliefs, which we have a whole episode that we go into quite a bit of detail about limiting beliefs, what they are, their impact, and also how to shift out of them. But just to kind of put that out there, limiting beliefs can really play into this, you know, idea of these mental constructs that block our ability to thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we did separate segment on those limiting beliefs. So mm-hmm. we invite our listeners to, if they want to know more, to listen. And we won't go into details here. We will mm-hmm. more signalize what they are. And like you said, one of them is fear. One of them is limiting beliefs. And those are any things we tell ourselves about what we can or cannot do, be, or have.
Mm.
Right? The other one is self-identifications. Again, similar concept. This time we say, I am or I am not the kind of person that can have, do, or be a certain way.
Yes.
And the third one is social paradigm, the programming we grow up in that predefines our quote-unquote should temple. I should do this. I should be a certain way, right?
Yes.
This social template paradigm that we come with or we get born into and kind of raised with.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, whether it's true or not, we kind of perceive that there's certain expectations mm-hmm. for how we should express ourselves, how we should show up, what our experience should be like, mm-hmm. you know, and in some
what
cases,
what life should be, right?
What life should be, what our experience mm-hmm. of life should be, yes. And in some cases, some of these, you know, these perceived expectations, these do also fall under limiting beliefs. A lot of these kind of overlap. Mm-hmm. But I think in some cases, it's like, you know, in my societal program, my social programming, my cultural programming, my cultural ideals allow for me to survive. You know, in fact, in some ways, the system is set up to kind of help people survive. But thriving, well, that's too much, or that's out of reach, or that's excess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really like the point you made. Like you said, this society is sort of set up more on survival than thriving, in a sense that there are systems put in place by the government to help you survive, like welfare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But there's no thriving programs out there. In fact, it's disturbing when we think that the most basic tools, skills for building a thriving life are really not being taught to us. Mm. We learn in school, memorize all kinds of things in geography and chemistry and stuff, you know, other subjects. Yet there's no teaching skills of what we actually use every day.
Yeah.
Right? I like knowing things. I like to know where certain countries are in on what continent. But hey, worst case scenario, I can look it up if I don't, right? Mm-hmm. But to know how to budget my money and be financially free, or how to communicate successfully and have meaningful, thriving relationships, or how to be a good parent, right, are much more important. And those are skills we actually do need and we use every single day. And those are the ones that make us thrive in life, right? That help us build meaningful life. But those are not skills that are being commonly taught, right? We're not being taught in school how to handle a disagreement with our loved ones in a loving, respectful way.
Yes,
right. How absolutely. To forgive, how to, and so on, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So the social paradigm, I feel like from all the skill, all the blocks we mentioned, it's kind of like the first block. That's where it starts.
Mm.
And those social paradigms then go into the second block, the self-identification, based on the society you are born into and raised in, right? We develop different those concepts of what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man, right? How it's okay to be, how it's not okay to be. And we develop those self-identification of, well, based on all these requirements and this should template, right? I am this kind of person, or I am not this kind of person. Which then leads to those limiting beliefs. Because if I think of myself, I am that kind of person, then I'm also going to think, well, I can do this. But if I think I am not that kind of person, then I may have a tendency of thinking, well, I can't do, be, or have that. Mm. Right? And then, like you said, then the fear is a strong component of that, induced by all those three components.
Yes. Yeah. And the net result being that we feel blocked mm-hmm. when it comes to this idea of choosing to thrive or, you know, kind of, again, I feel like in some ways, perhaps the default is to survive
mm-hmm.
and it's something else, something different, something new, to take that a step beyond and to actually thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're kind of leaving the programming behind when you choose consciously to thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So when we talk about creating a thriving life, even in the mm-hmm. title itself, we mentioned choice and design. Mm-hmm. So we just discussed the choice and how it connects to mindset and what the blocks might be. Mm-hmm. That we need to overcome to be able to move from the survival state to the thriving state.
Yes.
Right? The second component is the design. Let's talk about designing a thriving life.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
So I feel like the choice is more of an internal
mm-hmm.
concept and maybe a little more abstract. Versus the design, it's something that we actually actively doing. It's more of an external, being able to observe it externally.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is more of an application of the choice and the mindset.
Yes.
Right? And the point we really want to make here is that both the choice and design, it's not a thing that happens once and done.
Yeah.
It's something that needs to happen daily and continuously.
Mm.
Like you Absolutely. Said, every day, every moment, every choice we make.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so let's talk about those elements of the design.
Yeah. So I think that, we kind of touched on it already, but one of the elements of design, once we've made that choice that we're going to thrive, and we start to make we start to act the external application of that choice, one of the external applications of that is going to play out in our mindset, how we choose to view the opportunities that are presented to us, which of course determines our response. That's where we start to talk about the action. Like, once we've made this conscious choice, I'm choosing to thrive, what's different? Well, one of the things that's different is how I see the world.
So
how
the attitude?
I see what happens. It's the attitude. It's the mindset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that another way it plays out is in our priorities,
mm-hmm.
which is really our selection of what is important to us, of so priority, right? So it's in a hierarchy of how we invest our time, attention, and energy. What is our highest priority receives the most time, attention, and energy. And I think that when we're consciously making this choice daily to thrive, I think that the difference starts to show up in what we prioritize in terms of the way that we invest our time, attention, and energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. So what we make ourselves available versus unavailable for. We can say, I'm no longer available for, I don't know, drama. Therefore, yes. I say no to people who create drama or chaos in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You know, I love that I'm no longer available for. I love the way that feels. I love the way that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's no judgment in it. I'm not condemning the people who cause drama and chaos. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging my experience of the drama and chaos. I'm taking my power back and I'm making a conscious choice that I am not available for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we prioritize that.
Precisely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. To be clear on what the priority is and choosing it.
Yes.
And using this phrase verbally, like using language to help us, may be helpful and feels good too, right? To even say to yourself, I am no longer available for this and that. Mm-hmm. What I am available for is this and this. And that's what I'm calling into my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Feels good.
That does feel in very empowered. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so priorities. So we're designing our thriving life by priorities we choose, how we choose to prioritize our daily experience. I think that priorities come from another important element, which is values.
Yes. Yeah, so values. We also did a segment, a full episode on the concept of values as well. That goes into a lot more detail about really what values are, how to consciously choose values or your valuables in a way that creates more of that, of those valuables, more of that treasure in your experience. So I would invite our listeners, if you're curious about this concept of values and want some very applicable, practical tips on how to create life from a perspective of honoring values, I invite you to check out our episode on values specifically.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Yeah, so we have priorities, we have values. I think the next one is decisions. When we design anything, we need to make a lot of decisions.
Yes. You know, on some level, this is what our experience of life is, making choices, making decisions. On some level, that is our power to create our realities, is the choices that we make. The choices we make define the path that we walk. The path that we walk, you know, is ultimately transforms into the story of our life, you know, that kind of ties our whole experience together. And our decisions really are our power. And I think to kind of open up this discussion of decisions in particular, I think it's important to understand that it's not always the decision itself, like what we choose to do, that is the power. It's the place from which we make the choice. We can either make the choice from a place of empowerment, or we can make the choice from a place of disempowerment. And in some cases, the choice, depending on the circumstance, the choice might even be essentially the same choice. But are the intention behind which, from which the decision is made, ultimately defines how we show up in that experience of that decision, which is ultimately going to dramatically shape the consequences of that decision. So just to kind of sum that up, basically, the power in the decision is not always the decision itself, but rather the place from which the decision is made.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example to illustrate?
Yeah. So one example that comes to mind of a situation where maybe the decision is the same, but the place from which it is made is different, is consider a scenario where, let's say that there you have a friend, and the friend really mistreats you, just abuses the relationship, right? Just really oversteps their boundaries, really, it really mistreats. Now, based on your principles, you're going to stand up for yourself, but that's the decision you're making. I'm going to stand up for myself, but your choice is the place from which you standing up yourself comes. So on one hand, I could respond from a place of lack, of scarcity, of fear, and from a defensive place, I could lash out aggressively at that person and yell and swear and be angry, right? Like an animal that's cornered, right? And is like lashing out to defend itself. And that's like from this place of like fear and scarcity and being provoked. And yes, I'm still standing up for myself, but it's from that place. And then another option could be to stand in my power, to stand in my own rooted, grounded security, knowing my self-worth, and draw the line and say, you know what? It's not okay what you're doing right now. That's not okay with me. You've overstepped your boundaries. You are mistreating me right now, and it's not okay. And it's the same decision. You're still responding to the situation of mistreatment, and you're standing up for yourself in it. But the place from which your decision is made is vastly different. And thus the way that you show up, even though the decision is more or less the same, the way you show up in the expression of your decision is vastly different and leads consequently to vastly different outcomes.
Mm, okay. So in the scenario you described, we deciding to speak up and bring it to the attention of our friend.
Yes.
And we have a choice to come from so-called positive place of peace and empowerment, and do it in a way that communicates our feelings and perspective without being offensive or attacking.
Mm.
And simply letting the friend know we are no longer available to be treated a certain way.
Yes.
But what we are available is continuing the friendship. And this is how we would prefer it to look like.
Mm.
And if the friend can shift with us, we'll be happy to grow together. And if not, then we need to grow apart.
Yes.
Right? And yes, like you said, and in another element of the decision-making is how we show up.
Yeah.
Because another scenario could be we have a friend who mistreats us. And there's two ways of showing up. Either away from something that's negative and we don't want, or towards something that's positive and we do want. So let's say if we're coming from scarcity and think, well, I don't really like the way this friend treats me, but I don't have that many friends, you know, and overall it's kind of like the best friend I do have, right? And then we will be available to put up with way more right?
Yes.
Versus when we think, well, I don't deserve to be treated this way. I don't stand for that. I am not available for that. And yeah, I may not have many friends, but I either have less friends than have a friend who treats me this way. And I'm still setting these boundaries and I'm moving away from the situation I don't want toward more desirable situation.
Mm. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Very well said. Yes.
So that leads us to another element. So we covered priorities, we covered values, we covered decisions. And decisions are tied with choices, right? Mm. And we really do make choices all the time, consciously or not. And those choices dictate the experiences we end up having in life, right? Yes.
Yeah. And when we choose, when we make choices from our mindset of I'm choosing to thrive, those choices are different. Like we choose different things mm-hmm. than when our focus is on just surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And really it plays out in every sphere of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One example being of our lifestyle choices. So when I'm choosing to thrive, that may affect where I eat. That may affect what I drive. That may affect what experiences I choose to have. That may affect who I choose to surround myself with, my choice of companions.
Mm-hmm. Right? Where I shop, right? What I yes. buy. Mm-hmm.
All aspects, yes, because it's a conscious choice to orient from a place of choosing to thrive.
Yeah,
yes.
It's creating an experience we want mm-hmm. to have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is also the choices we make. It's very much tied with saying yes. And what I mean by that is making decisions from the place of saying yes to what we do want.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rather than, well, that will do, or that's good enough, or that will get me by. The place that feels weak and more of settling rather than choosing.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about how a lot of times from the place of surviving, it's like there's a compromise on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm just surviving. So I guess that's going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're compromising on what you really do want for what will get you by.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that people who choose to thrive don't compromise, but I am saying that it's different. There's different priorities. There's different values. All of the things we've mentioned so far are different. And when it is a compromise, it plays out. The experience of it is different.
Yes, I love it. I think what you're talking about is that the baseline is different. The code of standards is different, right?
Yes, yes.
That we have a different, like the baseline for what is a deal breaker that we are not willing to put up with.
Yeah.
That we say no to. Maybe an example would be in dating. We sort of all have more or less the idea of a partner, right? We would want to be with. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that are non-negotiables and some that are strong preferences. For example, for me personally, a deal breaker is somebody who smokes cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. I choose not to be available and to be in a relationship with somebody who smokes cigarettes, right? It's yes. a strong no for me.
Mm-hmm.
The other things are more flexible. Let's say we like certain body type or look physically, right? And that would be our preference. But it's not a deal breaker if someone is not exactly the way we wanted that to be.
Yes.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
So it's really about what we accept, because what we accept will continue, right? What we agree to or agree for will continue in our life. Yes. Just like what we persist, resist, what we resist, persists.
Right? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
The same with what we accept continues. If we keep at some level agreeing for it, saying yes to it, it will continue to show up in our life. So I love the point you make that the difference between thriving and surviving, it's not that people who thrive don't have to compromise and make those choices, but their starting baseline is very different.
Yes.
I think that there is more cut and dry, more clarity on where this line is being placed. And it comes from more of a like higher empowered place.
Yes. Yes. I love what you said about clarity. I think that those who are consciously choosing to thrive, there is some clarity that comes along with that decision, because, you know, it kind of goes back another tag back to our values discussion. I think that when you get clear on your values, it becomes that much easier to consciously create more experience of your values in your life. And I think that is a product of clarity. And I think in this case, you know, when you're consciously choosing to thrive, there's some clarity that comes along with that choice as well.
I like that. You know, that made me think of another distinction between surviving and thriving, which is what we need versus what we want. I feel like when we are in a surviving mode, we are very much focused on I need this, right? And that's like the what's needed. Sometimes like all that will do because that's all I need, right? Versus when we are in a thriving mode is, okay, now that I have what I need, what do I want?
You know, you're tapping right on it there. It's the contrast between living from a place of abundance and living from a place of lack and scarcity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, go ahead.
I love it. Yeah, exactly like you said. When I focus on what I want, it comes from this principle of abundant, thriving universe that takes care of me, that can deliver, that I'm being provided for, right? And again, I feel like all this discussion about what we want ties to another podcast we did on conscious creating conscious story, writing your conscious story, right?
Yes.
When we focus on what we do want.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that when you're choosing to create your life from a place of thriving, consciously, I think someone who chooses to thrive, on some level, they choose to have control over the narrative of their life, which again ties into this episode that we did on unconscious stories. This idea of when we take our power back over the narrative of our life, the way that we give meaning to our life, it really does empower us to create the meaning that we want to experience.
Well said. And,
yeah. And which also ties further into this idea of abundance. I think all of those concepts are very tightly interwoven.
Yeah. So when we talk about designing a thriving life, we covered priorities, we covered values, we covered decision-making, we covered choices, and you also covered the element of the attitude, which I feel it's like maybe the basic one, the first stepping stone, what you mentioned about the perspective, how we choose to look at things, right? And when we come from this positive place of this happened for me versus the negative place of this is happening to me, right? This perspective is what always determines the experiences we're having. And the attitude also manifests in language, how we when we observe our inner self-talk, or when we hear ourselves narrating our experiences. To give you an example, when something happened, you may choose to say, oh, I have to do this. Or you can say, well, today I get to wash my car. Or today I get to do laundry. And doesn't that feel so very different than so saying, different. I have to do laundry. Oh, gosh, I have to go wash my car.
You know, it's funny because if I was just, you know, if we were just on a phone call and I was like, hey, so what are you going on? What do you have going on today? And you're like, oh, I get to wash my car. Like my default response is like, ooh, that sounds like fun.
Lucky you, you have a car, like, how luxurious.
Yeah.
And you get to wash it?
Yeah.
Good for you, right?
Just the words alone, I would be in vibe with that. I'd be like, yeah, that wow, good for you, right? But if you were like, oh, I have to wash my car, I'd be like, oh, poor thing.
Right?
Like, oh, such a rough life. Like, and you know, not you know, it just the way that the words feel. It's completely different. And it speaks a lot, again, it speaks a lot to the place that we're standing in when we say things, when we use our language, when we assign meaning to things, when we either say, you know, the universe is with me or the universe is against me. Like when we make that choice, you know, is the world full of ugliness or is the world full of beauty? Is everything a miracle or is nothing a miracle?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when we really step into and embody our power, even just, you know, even if in your mind you're like, yeah, I have to wash my car, it feels like a little bit of a chore, try saying, I get to wash my car, and notice the difference in how it feels and see if you can't find a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of joy in it, mm-hmm. you know?
Because that implies gratitude, right? Oh, I get to. Have I not had a car, I wouldn't have nothing to wash, right?
So true.
It implies being empowered. I'm in choice here. I'm not
choosing
a victim
my
being
experience.
Forced to do something. I am choosing this on some level, either though it is a chore and maybe I would prefer to be laying on a beach or playing or doing something else, but I am still choosing it. So if I am choosing it, let's choose it with more of a light attitude, more of joy, more of gratitude, more of acknowledging the fact that it is my choice. And I carry it a little lighter.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we keep coming back to this word choice. We've said it so much so far. Even the title, Thriving by Choice and Design, it really comes back to this choice. And I love what you said at the beginning about, you know, consciously choosing your partner, consciously choosing, you know, your perspective, consciously choosing your life. And I feel like when we adopt this perspective of, oh, I get to, and we're consciously choosing our orientation of the experience, that's standing in our power and saying, I'm choosing to live my life. It's not happening to me. It's happening for me. And I will own my life. I will own my own experience of my life. Even when it's chores, I will find a way to own them. And to make them serve me, to make them serve my experience in some way. And, you know, Violetta, that there is no more powerful place in which to stand and from which to intentionally create your life.
Amen. True that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mic drop.
Bam.
Yeah.
The moment of silence.
Yes. Let that sink in.
Right. All right. So now that we know what does it mean to thrive, we kind of have an idea of how it looks like in a duality contrasted with surviving. We know that there is an element of choice and design that we discussed. We know the blocks are in a way. Then let's talk about running with it, doing it, applying it daily. Now that we know all this, right? We wake up tomorrow morning. How do we do it different? Where do we start? The first element.
The very first element is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be consciously aware of this concept of thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it always starts with awareness. Anything that you're consciously inviting into your experience starts with awareness of it. So that's definitely step one.
Right.
I think, mm-hmm. yeah, go ahead.
So like you said, awareness, number one, we have to be aware of something to even notice it exists, to be able to yes. do something with it. So yes. then when we do have the awareness, then there is an attention. Where do we place our attention? And I feel like the next step is placing our attention on intention to thrive. That we actually consciously make an intention that we do want to thrive. We yes. don't just want to go through the day, you know, and check things off our to-do list and get it done and get it out of the way. We actually do want to thrive.
Yes.
That is an important value of ours.
Yes.
Right? So now that yes. I'm aware that I have the choice and I get to choose.
Yes.
To thrive or survive. Now, attention that this, what I want, my, like, you know, the saying, keep your eyes on the prize, right? Mm-hmm. I yes. want to have that on my.
Yes.
And if I place it on my radar, then I will be actively looking for it to show up.
Yes.
To have those experiences.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And yeah. then when that happens, the next element I feel is allowing ourselves, giving ourselves permission to thrive.
Mm. Oh, so beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. Giving ourselves permission. Yeah, and absolutely. So being aware of it and then saying, okay, I'm giving myself permission to powerfully create from this intention of thriving. You know, I'm aware mm-hmm. of this concept. I'm setting the clear and conscious intention. And then as mm-hmm. it shows up, and a lot of this speaks to this idea of receiving. I'm allowing myself mm-hmm. to receive experiences yes. that feel like thriving.
Mm-hmm. Mm, I like that. So that may require overcoming the blocks we discussed, mm, right?
Definitely.
And raising
yes.
our baseline we talked mm-hmm. about, mm-hmm. the code of standards.
Yes.
That we are available for or no longer available for.
Yes.
Right? Awesome. I love that. Okay, let's move on to an invitation.
Mm.
With all that being said, what's our invitation for our listeners?
Yeah, so I really to make this practical, this idea of thriving, understanding as we've discussed so far, kind of how it all unfolds out of this initial awareness, this initial choice, this initial choosing to thrive. I think the invitation is to do exactly that, to set a clear and conscious intention to be continuously aware. Remember, it's not a one-time decision. Mm-hmm. It literally is a daily and even moment by moment, continuously choosing, actively, proactively choosing mm-hmm. experiences that feel like thriving. So set that intention to be aware of opportunities to choose thriving.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And how we can do it is by asking ourselves, by checking in with ourselves, if we are on course, right? Mm. So we may ask ourselves, does making this choice or this decision expand or collapses my life?
Mm.
Does it feel like thriving or does it feel surviving,
mm.
right? Or we may ask, if I was thriving, would I choose this?
Yes.
Would I choose this friend, this partner, this job? This place to live, this car.
Oh, right? I love that. If I'm thriving, would I choose this? Oh, that mm-hmm. is so powerful. So powerful. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So imagine if I already was that person that was thriving or a person that thrives, would they choose that?
Mm.
Is that on the same vibration?
Yes.
Right?
Wow.
Hmm. Another way is to ask for guidance.
Yes.
So inviting this guidance in a proactive way in our lives. So it could be phrased as, show me my heart or my intuition or my higher self. Show me opportunities to thrive.
Yes.
Show me the best way to respond or react right now. Show me what the best choice to create a thriving life would be.
Yes. Oh, that is so, so beautiful. Just, you know, the heartfelt asking, you know, the questions that we ask, it literally is all about the questions that we ask, because the questions that we ask shape the answers that we receive. And just this mm-hmm. heartfelt willingness to ask, you know, show me my opportunities to thrive. That's revolutionary. That will take you very far, very far on this journey of not just surviving, but thriving.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When you start asking different questions, right, it will lead you to different answers.
Yes.
And we change the course of your life. Change the destination secret. You're heading yes. towards.
Yes.
Hmm.
Beautiful.
Do we feel complete?
Wow. What a topic, really. And, mm-hmm. You know, I again, you know, even as we were, you know, before we went live here, Violetta, and we were talking about it, you know, the comment came up as like, yeah, this could easily be five. This could easily be five episodes, this concept. Mm-hmm. But in terms of opening it up in a way that invites conscious engagement, I mean, I know that I'm leaving this conversation, Violetta. I'm leaving this conversation with a very clear and conscious intention. Higher self, my heart, show me my opportunities to thrive.
That felt so, just hearing that felt so good in my body. Beautiful.
And with that,
so
I think we are complete.
So it be, and so it is then.
So it is.
All right. Thank you. I love you. Stay tuned and come back for more soon.
Okay. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Till the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this intentional creation. Find us on Instagram @artofintentionalcreation.